There are hugs and handshakes, congratulations pouring in from all around. A music teacher and band director from Sun Prairie, Wisconsin, is one of four finalists in the running to receive the Teacher of the Year Award later this spring. Good morning. This is the Joy Cardine Show. I'm Kate Archer Kent, in for Joy. Wisconsin hasn't had a finalist in 50 years. The first national winner from Wisconsin was a kindergarten teacher in the Cumberland School District in 1961. Joining us to discuss his great honor is the band director himself, Chris Gleason from Patrick Marsh Middle School. Chris, we're thrilled to welcome you on the program and congratulations on this honor.
Well, thank you so much. Yeah, it's a great honor. Thank you for asking me to be on.
So in September, you were named Wisconsin's Middle School Teacher of the Year, and now you're among four finalists for the overall national honor. What was your reaction to this news?
Utter disbelief, but humbleness, gratitude. It's pretty amazing. I haven't really woken up yet.
And you're a Sun Prairie Area School District Middle School music teacher and band director. Give us an idea of what your day is like and the work you do.
Well, sure. You know, my day is similar to a lot of educators. We begin, like this morning, we had jazz at 7 a.m.
Jazz practice at 7 a.m.
7 a.m., yeah, we started off.
That's so committed students and teacher all around there.
yeah. So we've been going for an hour already. And then, you know, right after that, we launch into small group instruction and so on with students. And basically, that continues throughout the day, along with full classes and so on. So I'll have 2 to 3 full classes and then small group instruction really throughout the day until about 3 or 3:30. And then some days we have some ensembles after school as well.
I was going to say, I bet there are some ensemble work or some practices that happen in the afternoon and evening hours.
It does. Yeah, it happens. And, you know, lots of events and so on. I mean, we try to offer the students a variety of different options and different ways to get involved through music. And so we do that joyfully and give them as many chances as possible.
And you've been an educator now for 19 years, 13 of them at your current middle school. What inspired you to take this path in life?
Well, my father, actually, he was a band director, music educator for over 40 years. And my brother and I basically grew up in his band room. It was a great childhood. I mean, both he and my mom were both educators. My mom was just retired as a dean at Wisconsin Technical College. And my brother also ended up being a music educator, and he teaches in Winona. So it's kind of a family event. It's kind of a family passage that we've gone through.
You have band directing in your DNA, apparently.
Yeah.
And so you and your brother both played tuba, is that right?
That's right. Yeah, we were my father's tuba section for many years. Mm-hmm.
Do you still play?
Yes, quite a bit. Not as much as I did it in college, but, you know, obviously every day, not just playing tuba, but playing every instrument that we need to with the kids.
So as a band director, instrumental teacher, talk about the role music education plays in the life of a student and in education. What is the role?
Well, you know, music is critical. We're looking at, you know, you hear more and more research and information talking about whole brain and whole child teaching. And it's important because what we've come to realize is that, you know, no two kids are the same. We're diverse. We're distinct. We think in different ways. And we as educators and as a public need to appreciate the differences that kids bring. And it's in music that it's one way to see the world, one way to learn. I often tell my administrators, I don't teach music, I teach through music. I use it as my vehicle to teach kids about all kinds of things. I mean, and music's important also because it's well, I think Ken Robinson probably mentioned it best. He said, music's important because it touches parts of students' being which would otherwise be untouched.
Hmm. Yeah. We're talking with Sun Prairie music teacher, band director Chris Gleason. He is one of four finalists for the National Teacher of the Year Award. He's been teaching at Patrick Marsh Middle School for 13 years out of a total of 19 years in the classroom. The teachers who are in the running from the other three states, they come from California, Maryland, and Massachusetts. Wisconsin hasn't received the National Teacher of the Year Award since 1961. We'd like to add your voice to the discussion. What teacher made an impact in your life? What would you like to ask Chris Gleason about his 19 years in the classroom? Join the conversation at 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We have a Facebook post from Marcia who says, "My favorite teacher by far is Mr. Robert D. Mix, formerly of Duluth East High School in Duluth, Minnesota. He had an extraordinary talent for bringing together different students with little, some, and extraordinary talent, and then turning them into something truly exceptional and otherworldly. His choir sang at the White House, which I did," Marcia says, "toured Europe and cut records at a time when few high school choirs were doing so." Chris, can you talk about bringing students together under the same umbrella of education who come from a lot of different backgrounds and talents?
Well, yeah, and that's critical. We need to engage every student. That's one of the keys to the future. How can we make education better? And it's making connections with each and every student. And so that's a critical attribute. And that story is a beautiful story. And it's not, I think the person who wrote in would probably also tell you it wasn't just the trips. You know, those are all great. But in the end of the day, you know, when we all think about our favorite teacher, we probably are thinking back about them, and it's something that they did and spurred inside of us, inspired us about. It probably wasn't something that ended up being on a test. And that's what's important, is the connection that we make with students.
Well, let's take a call now with Greg from Prairie du Chien. Hi, Greg.
Hello.
What would you like to add about your favorite teacher?
Well, my favorite teacher was my high school band director, Mr. Tom Cook. I'm right around the same age as your guest there. I'd also like to congratulate him. And band teachers make a huge difference in a lot of students' lives, more than people probably will ever know. I just retired last week from a local country band called the Back Home Boys, and we've had that band for 23 years. There's 7 members in it, and 3 of us are students of Mr. Tom Cook.
Wow, and you were together for decades in this band. Yeah, so really taking what you learned in high school and bringing it into a band. Chris, do you see that, students forming bands and then taking that years beyond?
I do, and that's what's exciting is, you know, we don't expect all kids to go on to be professional musicians or so on, but we hope that we instill the love of learning. I mean, in the end, it's that they're compassionate and excited and engaged citizens and so on, and certainly if they continue to play their instrument, that's amazing, so that's great to hear.
And Chris, how would you see success look like in the eyes of your students? How do you, how do they achieve success in your view?
You know, a student achieves success if they can walk out of our program feeling more curious than when they came in. That's my goal every day, that when students walk into my classroom, that they leave more curious and more engaged and more excited. I want those students to, as they approach their senior year, to love learning more than when they started. And unfortunately, we're kind of in a situation, a lot of times, where it kind of the opposite happens. And that's kind of the message I want to send, and I would love to have the opportunity to share with other educators, is that we need to turn that around. We want kids to be more engaged and more curious. And if they can do that, I feel then they're going to be successful in life.
How do you know when you've piqued their curiosity? How do you know when it's worked?
You see the twinkle in their eye. it's that simple. You really do. You can see them. They initiate things then. You see them ask high-level questions. You can see the fire in them, inside of them. So I know it sounds like it's one of those things, but again, we're dealing with humans. This isn't a factory. It's not, you know, a machine. We're dealing with real live people, and that's the thing we got to keep in mind, is that, you know, education's kind of messy in a way. It doesn't always fit in a bubble or a number or a score. It has to do with real people.
And so much is based on scores, on hard numbers in education. How does that feel as a teacher?
Well, it's disconcerting, because I think that's one of the big issues. I mean, we all have a stake in education. Why? Because we've all experienced it. We've all gone through a school. And so a lot of times when we talk about education, we know it from our own perspective. And that's an important thing as a society, and also for our students, to talk about empathy, is to fit into other people's shoes and to really kind of picture yourself in a different place. I mean, schools are different than they were when we, you know, you and I were back in school. I mean, just technology, we're in the midst of a revolution right now. Mm. And we're trying to get a grasp of how to teach students in a way that's going to be beneficial to them in 5 years. Like, who knows what it's going to look like in 5 or 10 or 15 or even 20 years. So we're embracing a revolution, and having empathy is really, really important.
We're talking with Sun Prairie Band Director and Instrumental Music Teacher Chris Gleason. He is one of 4 finalists for this year's National Teacher of the Year Award. He's been teaching at Patrick Marsh Middle School for 13 years out of a total of 19 years in the classroom. Teachers in the running for this award come from California, Maryland, and Massachusetts. Wisconsin hasn't received the National Teacher of the Year Award since 1961. Long time ago, what teacher made an impact on your life? What would you like to ask Chris Gleason about his years in the classroom? Join in the conversation, 800-642-1234, or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We'll take a short break, then back for more discussion on great teachers who've made a difference here on the Ideas Network. It's considered the Oscar of Teaching Awards, and an educator from Sun Prairie, Wisconsin, is one of 4 finalists for the National Teacher of the Year recognition. This honor hasn't happened since the 1960s, when 4 Wisconsin teachers made it this far in the competition. So you fast forward 50 years, and Wisconsin is in the running again. We're talking with middle school band director Chris Gleason right now about his honor. He's been a teacher for 19 years, 13 of them at Patrick Marsh Middle School in Sun Prairie. And we'd like to add your voice to the conversation about great teachers. Did you have an educator who changed your life? Tell us about this person at 800-642-1234 or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And so let's go to the calls now with Dave from Appleton. Hi, Dave.
Good morning. First, congratulations to your guest. I was a band director for 37 years, of people from fourth grade up through college sophomores. And my inspiration, I think, for going into music, period, was a humanities teacher or humanities program that I had in high school. And the person that taught the music part of it was a history teacher and got me into classical music. And then I was going to be an aeronautical engineer and got a college scholarship for that. And then one morning I said, I don't like math that much. Yeah. I like music. So,
but there is math in music, though. Yes?
Oh, yes, there is. And but it was the sciences, I think, more than the math that I wasn't crazy about.
Yeah. What was it like to be a band director for 37 years?
Fun, really. But it was nice that I was able to change levels. I started in grade school, and I went to a middle school, and then high school, and then university, or one of the UW colleges. So I think if I had stayed at one level for that long, I may have gone crazy.
Chris Gleason, what do you think about band directors holding the course in their career and really sticking to that specific job?
Well, I think if you look at research, there are a lot of professionals that change positions and so on. And, you know, sometimes a fresh approach is good. I've seemed to find my niche at the middle school level, I think maybe because I act like them a little bit. or I have more energy than they do, so I can still keep out in front of them a little bit. But it's I've just found this this thing with this age level with 10, 11, and 12-year-olds that they don't really know what they're capable of yet. They're just starting to figure out who they are, and I just love that time of their life, to have an influence at that time of their life. But Dave, thanks for all that you've done. That's a lot of years, and you know, a lot of lives that he's changed.
Thank you so much, Dave, for your call. Glenn from Whitewater. Hi, Glenn.
Good morning.
What would you like to add about band directors?
Well, I have to admit I'm a band director also, but my question really is more to Chris Gleason. In an age in which we have so much immediate gratification, rewards for students, little trinkets given out for positive behavior, and all these immediate things, band and music are long-term goals in which you have to work for 6 weeks, 8 weeks, a year, several years. And Mr. Gleason is obviously a master of getting his students to buy into that reality. It's like life itself, that, you know, they're long-term goals. And it's one of the few places, I think, in the school where that exists. So I'm wondering how he does that.
Chris?
Well, thank you, Glenn, for the question. When it comes to motivation, I think what research has shown, in fact, I think Dr. Edward Deming found that more than 70 studies have found that the more you reward people for doing something, the more they lose interest in whatever they had to do to get the reward. So by hanging that carrot out there, we actually do the opposite. We focus on the extrinsic, and at best, it's like mindless obedience. So the principles I follow, or the research that I found, like, for example, by Dan Pink, he says three things really motivate everyone. And one is autonomy, mastery, and purpose. So autonomy, having the kids make some decisions, having an ability to maybe have autonomy over the task that they do, or the time, or the technique. Mastery, meaning the urge to make progress and get better at something that matters to them. And then purpose is that yearning to do what we do in service of something larger than ourselves. And that's really the beauty of instrumental music, is that they are one piece of the puzzle, and they understand that by getting better themselves, they're not only making a difference in their own lives, but they're affecting others. So it's a great point. It's a great question. It is this long-term view. It's this intrinsic motivation that we need to instill in all students.
And I'm sure it takes a lot of energy from the band director, from the teacher, to maintain that motivation to move ahead and get that goal.
Well, yes. And the key is that the motivation really is in the student. The key is that we can't make them do anything. I mean, the reality is we can't. The understanding is that it's almost like being, thinking of it in agriculture. It's that if I set the conditions, then the plant will grow. I'm not going to make the plant grow. I can't glue the petals on and get the stem the right way. It's that if I make the conditions right in my classroom, then the students will flourish.
Well, Glenn, thank you so much for your call. Harry from Manitowoc. Hi, Harry.
Hi. Hello.
Yes, what would you like to add?
First of all, I want to congratulate our new state winner. I was Wisconsin's 1984 Teacher of the Year.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Well, it's a long time ago, and I've been retired a long time already. However, congratulations. It is a good, a wonderful honor. I also wanted to let you know that while that year was wonderful, one of the complications I felt was that I was continually asked for the answers, and I had to make sure that I would tell people, I don't know what all the answers are. I only represent a large number of teachers who are always looking for the answers, and who also realize that once we find the answer, we're going to find a child who doesn't fit that answer. And also to say, when I look back on the teachers that I had, the greatness of them was not in how similar they were, but how different they were.
And Chris?
Yeah, I would, it's great to meet you, Harry. It's so true. It's you know, there's certainly, I don't have all the answers at all. I mean, what I can speak to is the experiences that I've had in the classroom. And I've said that to others as well, is that this is not selecting the best teacher. That's not possible. There is no best teacher. I mean, I'm not even the best one in my hallway most days. Like, the key is that it's an idea to represent educators and to hopefully give a voice to that idea of how can we improve education. And I think that's a really important voice, is the teacher's voice. We're the ones closest to the students, obviously, day in and day out. And the thing I want people to know, too, is that teachers are invested. I see people every day, day in and day out, passionate about teaching kids. And they come in and give it their all, and they really love these kids. So it's a great honor to be able to do this and to give a voice to education.
We're talking with band director Chris Gleason, who's one of four finalists for the National Teacher of the Year Award. He's been teaching at Patrick Marsh Middle School for 13 years now, in education for 19 years. Teachers in the running from the three other states include California, Maryland, and Massachusetts. We'd like to add your voice to this conversation at 800-642-1234. What teacher made a difference in your life? Who was your favorite teacher and why? Give us a shout out here at 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Thanks, Harry, for calling in. And now Donna from Fitchburg. Hi, Donna.
Hi. Chris, congratulations to you. I am a 1976 Sun Prairie High School graduate from the choir program of Robert Lee Benson, and I would just like to say what a difference that teacher made in my life. I went on to major in music and would also like to just pay tribute to Marlis Trunkhill, who was my voice teacher there and who recently passed away. These teachers have a huge influence on us. Chris, you said that we're in the middle of a revolution, and I believe that you are quite correct in that music especially helps people to navigate that revolution, no matter what it is that is in front of us in technology. Because with music study, you study patterns, you recognize patterns, you also find out how to communicate. That is the essence of music, and also it teaches young people to stretch themselves, overcome the performance fear, and focus on that communication that we're honored to give through the gift of music. So again, congratulations. I wish you the best. You've already won, no matter what the panel is who decides who is the nation's top teacher.
Chris?
Well, Donna, thank you so much. That means a lot. And I would echo all the great things that she said. You know, music's role in the future is so vital. And it's music in the arts, and, you know, we got to stop looking at education in a very narrow lens. Math and reading definitely are important. The STEM is important. But we also have to appreciate that students don't just look at life through that lens, that some of the most important things you'll never find on a test, like, for example, integrity, empathy, compassion, courage, like she was saying, a sense of beauty, resourcefulness, kindness, respect, the ability not just to read words, but also faces. I mean, these are things that go beyond tests, and they're qualities that should be cultivated in our schools.
Well, thank you, Donna, for calling in and your kind words for Chris. Richard emailed and said, congratulations. All of us musicians in Trempealeau County are proud of a young man who was raised in Arcadia when his dad was band director there. I worked with his mom, Richard says, at a facility for the treatment of people with mental illness. As I hear Chris describe his educational philosophy, he says, I can hear the influence of his mom as well. And he asks you to talk about how teachers can come in various forms.
Well, thanks, Richard, for the email, and I'm sure my mom is smiling too. She, you know, growing up in Arcadia was a great environment, a small city, small school, and you know, seeing all, you know, I'm a Wisconsin product, grew up in, actually, my dad was a Catholic school principal for a while, but in Arcadia, and then we went to Durand, and then finally into La Crosse, and went to La Crosse Logan Middle School and La Crosse High School, and then two state universities, UW-Eau Claire and UW-La Crosse. So I'm a Wisconsin, you know, product, and I'm proud of that. I think our education system, you know, prepared me well. And I think Richard's exactly right when he says that teachers come in different, you know, with different abilities and beliefs, and that's important. I mean, that's vitally important, because we need to teach to our strengths, and we have to bring our passion into our schools. That's why standardization is not the right approach. That's that factory mentality that we seem to be stuck on at times, where we say, here's the curriculum, here's how you teach it, and here's how we're going to assess it, and then we're just going to compare. And just kids don't come about, you know, made that way. We need to be flexible. We need to allow teachers to find their inspiration and certainly teach to standards, but we got to allow them to have the autonomy to teach in their own way.
Well, Richard, thank you so much for writing in to Chris and for your observations. Let's go to Matthew in Jackson. Hi, Matthew.
Good morning. Good morning, Chris. I just wanted to share my story that I was actually introduced to the trombone at the age of 9 years of age by my elementary school teacher, which led to me winning a professional full-time job playing trombone at 21 years of age. And that has, my career has continued through that to the point where I'm now living in the United States making musical instruments. And just how important music is to people's lives, I don't think a lot of people actually understand just how important it is. If we were to go to a movie and you were to remove the music from the film, for example, that it would be sadly lacking, and not anywhere near as much impact would be made by the film. But something else that I wanted to say was that I've actually heard recordings of Chris's bands, and very, very impressive. He gets a result from the kids, which is really quite extraordinary. And I've come to hear those recordings because I'm actually married to Sue Page, who I'm sure Chris will remember as a fellow student at Eau Claire. I just wanted to say, hi, Chris. Congratulations. Well done. Sue is incredibly proud and thrilled that you are in this situation of being nominated. So well done. Congratulations.
Chris, can you discuss career paths and music and what you see ahead for your students if they do want to pursue, make music as a career?
Well, thank you, Matthew, for the call in, and please say hi to Sue. The world's open to our kids. There's a lot of different paths that students can take. It's not just performance, and that's why, just as a music educator, that we as music educators need to broaden our horizons as well. I mean, we're not trying to produce kids that are going to play in Chicago Symphony. That's one, you know, form of life, but that's not just it. Just as we're not teaching all our kids to become university professors, we're trying to allow kids to find their passion and find where they're going to fit in, no matter what it is, going to college or, I mean, I have lots of students. One cuts my hair, one, you know, works at where I have my automobile repaired all the time. I mean, and they're happy and they're doing well and they found where they want to be in life. And that's great. We just have to harness that. So there's lots of opportunities for kids out there within the profession. Like you just heard, you know, Matthew started off doing performance and now ended up sounding like he's making instruments and so on. There's lots of opportunities for kids. We just need to get them passionate about it.
Do you see your students who are middle school students express interest in a career path that early that involves their instrument or in making music?
I do. I see lots of students. And I think it's great. I think it's great to have them get excited. I mean, I remember when I was a middle school student, I was watching public television, and I saw the Canadian Brass, a famous brass quintet, and I saw the tuba player take his tuba and kind of rotate it as he was playing, and I was hooked. I bought every CD they had. Even when they changed the cover and it was the same music, I still bought it. So my life's goal was to become a member of that Canadian Brass. So I remember going to UW-Eau Claire and telling my tuba professor at the time, I said, I want to be the tuba player in the Canadian Brass. And he said, well, I'm not going to squash your dream, but we're going to keep a little dose of reality there, too. You know, like, that's not going to be an easy gig to get. And thankfully, he, you know, kind of talked some sense into me a little bit because the tuba player is still with that group. So, so I mean, I think it's to get kids excited, but also to give them some realistic ideas of what the possibilities are out there. But, you know, that's certainly made a big impact in my life.
What is realistic in the economy you see out there for these students? And granted, there's high school and college in front of them, but what is the economy like for careers in music?
Well, you know, I would encourage all students, not even just music students, obviously, but all students to really consider education. I mean, there's been a lot of talk about people saying, oh, don't go into education, you know, and I think that's wrong. I think we need our best and brightest to embrace education. If we want to make our world better, we need to get great people into the classroom, and there's a need for that. So that's one of my missions, one of my goals, to go out and talk to people about this. I mean, if you want to make a difference in someone's life every single day, no better way to do it than being a teacher. I can affect a student's life every single day, and that's powerful. That's meaningful. So, I would encourage kids to really consider education, obviously, but there's jobs in the industry, obviously, with instruments, with publication. There's, you know, look at the Grammys. I mean, look at the industry that's there. And there's an education portion of music, obviously, and there's an entertainment portion. And sometimes people get the two confused a little bit. I mean, we're not here to entertain the public. We're here to teach through music. We do music education. And, you know, entertainment might be kind of a byproduct. That's not our main mission.
Do you think we as a society value teachers?
I think we need to. I think when I talk to my parents and so on, I know they value what we do. I think in our society, though, we tend to sometimes point fingers and say, you know, that needs to get done. That entity needs to do it. And I think it's going to take a group effort. We need parents. You look at just students coming into school. They don't all just come into school ready to learn. A lot of what happens at homes makes a huge difference. I mean, we've seen the research on parents reading to kids and what a difference that makes and so on. So this is a group effort. We need parents to be part of this this enterprise in what we're doing, because we're trying to raise, you know, kids, and we're all invested in this, and they're our future. I mean, we're working, they're going to replace us is the way I look at it. So it's our job to do everything we can to support them. So yes, I think parents do support us. But I think the profession itself has kind of been struck down in the past years. I think it's been stigmatized as a profession that you wouldn't want to do. But I think that needs to change. I think education's the most noble of all professions.
We're talking with Chris Gleason, who has band in his DNA. He grew up playing tuba in lacrosse under the direction of his father, his school's band director. Chris Gleason's brother also played tuba, and his band is a band director at a school in Minnesota. Now, Chris is in the running for the nation's top honor for educators. It's like the Oscars, the National Teacher of the Year Award. Wisconsin hasn't been a finalist since the 1960s. Do you have a teacher who has changed your life? What is it about amazing band directors? Join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. You can post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We'd love to read those messages. Chris Gleason is staying with us. We'll be back in just a moment after this break. We're talking with band director Chris Gleason, who is in the running for the Teacher of the Year Award a huge honor for Wisconsin, and we're picking his brain here this hour on what it means to be a teacher these days and how he breaks through with his students at the middle school level at Patrick Marsh Middle School. You can add your voice to this discussion. In what ways did your teacher have a positive impact on you at 800-642-1234? Let's go to the phones now with Ted from Harshaw. Hi, Ted.
Hello. Thank you for having me on. And Chris, congratulations, and I hope you make it all the way. I think that great teachers are not just to be honored, but treasured. My favorite teacher was, I went to Two Rivers High School. My favorite teacher was not in band. My favorite teacher was geometry teacher Warren Otto. He was he passed away this past year. He was the consummate professional in the way he looked, the way he acted, and the way he prepared his lessons. And just to give you an idea of how skilled he was at the craft of teaching, he knew that a lot of the kids coming into his class as sophomores were not really up on their algebra, and there is algebra involved in geometry. So he actually, I would have to say, I was one of those kids who didn't really grasp algebra. He taught us algebra while he was teaching us geometry, just by going off on little sidebars and explaining things. He could just break down things so precisely. So I'm forever grateful to him. That's all I have to say.
And Chris, talk a little bit about the connections you have with your colleagues, your peer teachers, as you build this well-rounded student.
Well, it's vital. It's vital. The connections we make within our schools is essential to educating our students. Again, it's a team effort. I mean, I think there were years and years ago when I first started, we were in silos, meaning that you would come and teach and you wouldn't talk to your colleagues necessarily, or even plan with your colleagues necessarily. You would come and do your job and teach those students. And obviously what we've realized is that we're better when we kind of cross-pollinate in a way where we share our ideas and say, okay, what worked? And so that's more part of education today, obviously. It's where we have learning communities. And now with social networking and everything else, it's great because ideas are being passed around and shared. And that is going completely to the benefit of our students.
You feel also closer to your colleagues and what they're doing in their classrooms.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. There's a connection that's being made. It kind of reminds me a little bit of a story of a piece of music we were doing. It was called Moscow 1941. It's by a composer, Brian Balmages. And I was trying to teach the students, you know, it was about the German army approaching Moscow. In Russia, in 1941, pushed them back. They were within 15 miles. And I told my students, that's exactly how far Sun Prairie is from our capital, you know, in Madison.
Yeah.
I said, can you imagine what that would be like? And I said, how did they push them back? And the kids sat and they thought, and they said, well, they had to do it together. And I said, right, that's the power of being together. That's community building. And I said, here's what I want you to do, kids. I want you to go out and find something in the school, something that you believe in, something you want to improve. Come back, make a mission statement, make an action plan, and find others who believe in the same thing. Then go out, enact your action plan, gather data, and then bring it back to the class. Now, can you imagine? These are little seventh graders dutifully taking down notes, right?
Yeah.
And the amazing thing is they came back, and this one group kind of caught my attention. They called themselves the sit-down club. They would go out at lunch and sit down with the kids that sat by themselves at lunch. And so I was out at lunch one day and watching, and my principal came up, and he's like, well, what's going on? I said, I'm just watching the students. We got, you know, band. He said, band? It's lunch. I said, no. I said, we got class going on. He goes, what do you mean? He said, it's a sit-down club. So I don't get it. I said, Moscow 1941. He goes, explain this to me. And I explained the idea of that community building. And that, you know, it's not just about the notes. It's teaching through the music. And those kids learned a really valuable lesson. We were talking about empathy and community and how a group of them can do something that's going to be good to help others.
Well, Ted, thank you so much for your call about your geometry teacher who went above and beyond. Let's talk with Lori now from Hales Corners. Hi, Lori.
Hi. Chris, you're wonderful. You really are a wonderful teacher. I know I was a teacher, and I had to get out of it, or I'd have had an ulcer, because I really wanted children to achieve, and sometimes they weren't achieving as much as I wanted them to, or something like that. But I also want to recall my favorite teacher from grade school. She was maybe 12 years older than I was at the time she was teaching me, and I still go to see her today. Hmm. She's in a senior care facility now, but she was she had this wonderful, sweet face and sweet disposition, and it made all the difference because there were some teachers over there, St. Anne's and Milwaukee. School is closed over there now. But she was just wonderful. I don't know how to explain it. She just, it was her disposition. She was prepared, but it was more how she went about it, and always just with a lot of sweetness, humor, you know, and encouragement. And that means a lot, doesn't it?
Chris?
It does. And thanks for the call and that. It's, I think almost everyone could agree. We all can think of that teacher, that person that made a difference in their life. And, you know, and that might be a challenge to everyone listening. If you haven't reached out to them, you know, do that. Because it honestly will make their day. I mean, when I get, and honestly, every teacher I wish could have this happen. I mean, I'm so grateful because I've heard from so many of my past students have told me, you know, things that, you know, will just, I'll keep with for the rest of my life. But every teacher should feel like this. They all, like you heard her say, they pour their heart and soul into it. And it's a difficult job. Because again, it's not a cookbook. You can't just check off a list and follow a pattern. I haven't taught the same way ever. Every year is different. Every bunch of students is different. So I'll spend, you know, weeks and weeks really contemplating the music and the literature I'm going to put in front of my students, because to me, that's their curriculum. That's the air they breathe. And that's my influence with them is that literature. So I just agonize over that because all kids are different.
And I assume this bleeds into other areas of your life after work as well, that you're thinking about your curriculum, about your approach, perhaps about a particular student's challenges.
Well, yeah, and that's one thing that excellent teachers do. They're reflective practitioners. I'm part of an organization through the Wisconsin School of Music Association called Comprehensive Musicianship Through Performance. And it's a group of educators that came together over 40 years ago with this idea of what do great teachers do? And they went out into the schools and they looked to kind of gather some information. And they came back and they said, okay, teachers, no matter what they teach, do five things. One, they start with something of goodness, quality something, quality ideas, quality literature, and then they analyze it. They really know what it is. They get out in front of the kids so that they're not up there making things up, obviously. They really understand their content. Then they have really clear outcomes. They have strategies to get to those outcomes, and then they assess. And that doesn't mean just giving a grade. It means finding out if the strategies they did worked. And if they didn't, they might just change. They might try it a different way. So great educators do those things, and what's neat is that that group sustains me. It helps me to get better, and it's really a gift to education.
Do you think teachers should find support systems for their work?
Absolutely, absolutely. This can be a lonely job, and again, like I said, it's difficult work. So educators need to reach out. You know, social networks are great, but that's why we got to continue to support education, and we got to continue to look at how we finance schools. I mean, I'm working in, you know, Sun Prairie, Wisconsin, and it's the fastest growing district in the state of Wisconsin. The problem, though, is that, and we just passed a referendum to build two elementary schools at the same time. The problem is, though, next year we're almost like a $2.5 million deficit. So we're looking at cutting positions. You know, so kind of ironic that my job might be the one that could be cut. And I mean, that's the reality of the situation. So I know legislators, and I know with the speech given yesterday by our governor and so on, this idea of looking at public education and how to redo financing. It's so important. It really is, because we need to continue to look at ways to finance our schools and to do a better job, because obviously our kids are worth it. They're our future.
Let's take another caller here, Angela from Viroqua. Hi, Angela.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I have an amazing middle school teacher, a band teacher, and I was a flute player, and he was a teacher who cross-pollinated within the music room. So he wanted the drummers to learn a second instrument. In my case, he was encouraging me to learn the electric bass. And he also, in our school talent show, he helped me arrange Stairway to Heaven by Led Zeppelin, and he brought in a recording studio into the classroom, and we recorded an LP. This is in the 1970s, if you can imagine. So long before CDs and electronic recording, we have these beautiful digital recordings of us way back, you know, and 11 years old. And I'll never forget how encouraging, like there was never a discouraging word that he said to any of us as musicians, and really encouraged us to stretch our concepts of what music was and all the different ways that we could incorporate music into our lives. And of course, he kept it relevant. You know, he let us play music that was important to us as students. So I just want to sing his praises. There's many, many, many times I've looked up, tried to find him just to give him that praise as a 53-year-old mother of a musician myself right now. And I think, man, he was so amazing. I've never been able to find him, but he was a highlight in my schooling.
Well, Chris, Angela says anything is possible in the band room, learning multiple instruments, building community. Yes?
It is. It is. Anything's possible. And that's the absolute belief that I have as well, is that in education, with a great education, kids can achieve their dreams. Anything is absolutely possible. And that's kind of the goal with all of this, is, you know, I would love to have that opportunity to be the spokesperson to communicate and validate the reasons why we teach, you know, and I would try to do that to inspire my colleagues in the profession and to rebuild the public's positive perception of teachers, and to encourage our young people to consider this noble profession. Henry Adams said, one of my favorite quotes, he said, "A teacher affects eternity. He or she can never tell where their influence stops." And, you know, it probably came really clear to me at my father's funeral, just this past February. You know, like I said, I grew up in his band room, and I saw him inspire kids. He would give 45-minute lesson to a student and then say, "Come back tomorrow."
Mm.
And it was his high expectations and his persistence that was evident, you know, about his commitment to kids. And at his funeral, my mom and my brother and I, you know, sat there and saw this huge line of his former students come to pay respects to a man who made a difference in their lives. And the brass ensemble that played a beautiful piece called Salvation Is Created, and reminded me of the lifelong impact we have as educators.
Oh, wow. Well, I want to leave you here with this note from Tom on Facebook, who says, "Chris represents everything that's right about teachers in public education. As a parent and a member of the school board in Sun Prairie, I've had the opportunity to see Chris work many times. He's such an inspiration to not only the kids he comes in contact with, but other educators and parents as well. For Chris, it's not just about band or music, but he truly cares about all students, their well-being, and their success overall as young human beings." Chris, thank you so much for spending the time with us, and best of luck to you.
All right. Thank you so much.
Chris Gleason is a band director, music teacher at Patrick Marsh Middle School in Sun Prairie, one of four finalists for the 2017 Teacher of the Year Award. It'll be handed out later this spring. Thanks to producer Nyasia Ellison and technical director Michelle Good. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here on the Ideas Network. Coming up tomorrow at this time, a Marquette University Law School professor joins us to discuss the dramatic increase in U.S. prison populations over the decades and how in Wisconsin there's not a clear-cut reason for why mass incarceration happens.
Here's how to be a good contestant on Ask Me Another, NPR's hour of puzzles, word games, and trivia. Tip one, if you don't know the answer, guess.
Driving Michael Phelps. Could I say right now that I would totally watch the TV show Driving Michael Phelps?
Remember what show you're on.
That is correct. We're not on Jeopardy, but you're right.
Tune in and shout out answers every week on Ask Me Another.
Saturday morning at 10 on Wisconsin Public Radio.